So in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1, now obviously if we're talking about new seasons, this is the portion of scripture we're going to go to. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then of course there's an entire list that goes after that. We're not going to get into that. But I want you to think about seasons. Now we live in Florida and we don't have them. So we go from spring to summer, and then summer to spring, and that's about it. So I'm not talking about those seasons, and that's not what we're talking about here either. We're talking about different times in our life as we progress through our life and what they look through, you know, what they look like. Like you were, at one point in time, you were dating, and then you fell in love. I mean, I hope. If you're married today, I hope so. You got married, and then you tried to figure out what type of career path you were going to go down, and then what kind of job you were going to have. And then you started having children. Some of you had children, maybe you didn't. And then, can my wife stay at home with the children? What school are my children going to go to? What church are we going to attend? Are we going to rent? Are we going to buy? Then we have to buy a car. And then my children are old enough to where I give them the keys to the car. Scary. Give them a two-ton weapon that they can drive around and kill people with. And then children, then they all graduate. And then what college are they going to? Are they moving out of the house? They move in, and then are we going to move into a new house? And then you have to take the keys away from your parents. And then you have to take care of them. And then you have grandchildren. Now, I have two married children. I have four children altogether. I have two of them that are married. We have not been blessed with grandchildren yet, but I am told that grandchildren are the way in which the Lord rewards you for not killing your children when they were teenagers. Well, maybe we'll find out eventually. So that's to be continued. We'll keep you updated on that one. And then, at some point in time, you have to be taken care of by your own children. So all of those are different seasons. And how many of you would say, I really like change? Raise your hand. Now look around. Look around. I want you to look. Look, look around. There's one person in the entire room. One person. And you're married to him. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Now, she is married to just you, right? There's nobody else. Okay, all right. All right. Maybe he's enough change for the both of you. But change is difficult. Change is difficult. But think about all of the different seasons that I just went over. What did I miss? What seasons did I miss? I want you to think about it. I want you to talk about it at your table for just a minute. What seasons did I miss? I've mentioned a lot. I mentioned over 20. But I want you to talk about it. What did I miss? What other seasons are there? And then, actually, before you do that, let me tell you just a little bit about myself. So you start thinking in your own head. Hold on. Let me tell you about myself first. I got fist pumping and people excited to talk. So I came from an education background. I graduated from Merriman High School down in Southwest Florida in Cape Coral. Got a football scholarship and played at Liberty University. But that's where I met my wife. After that, I coached a couple years of college football. And then we were getting ready to start a family. And we thought, college football coaching is not for a family man. So we moved back down, and I took a job at Merriman High School as a teacher. It's a public school, had about 1,600 students. I started coaching and teaching, became the head football coach, and then got into administration. And for 11 years, I was a principal. I was a principal at Merriman High School with 1,600 students, and then I was a principal at Fort Myers High School that had 2,000 students. So I was the principal of those two schools. And then I loved being a principal, loved it. I truly enjoy interacting with the students. We saw over 4,500 young people come to know the Lord through club meetings and things like that, through public schools. And then I was asked by Clarence Sexton at Crown College to go up there and take over as the dean of the School of Education. And I told him, I said, Pastor Sexton, I said, why would I leave what I'm doing? I can retire in the state of Florida in 7 years. 7 years. He looked at me and said, Robert, that's a faith thing. And I said, yes, thank you for belittling my faith. I appreciate that. I said, this is what I'll do, Pastor Sexton. I said, my wife and I'll pray about it. I said, we'll go through the doors that the Lord has open for us. And all the doors led to Temple Baptist Church and Crown College, and that's where we ended up. During those 2 years, I was contacted by Tom Sexton, who was the pastor of Gulf Coast Baptist Church, and he said, I'm going to retire. He said, and in retiring, I'd like for you to take over Gulf Coast Baptist Church. I said, I'm an educator. I said, I've been in education for 25 plus years. I said, I'm not a pastor. He said, the church is going to vote for you to be the pastor. And I said, okay, we'll pray and ask the Lord to open the doors that he wants us to go through. And here I am standing in front of you, a pastor for 3 months now. Pray for us. Pray for us. But I said all that to tell you, I may be actually qualified to stand in front of you. Maybe. But what I want you to do is think about seasons. What seasons have I missed that I've gone through? Because we all have different seasons. I want you to talk about it. Take about two or three minutes at your table. Go. Now look, if you're not talking or listening, you're missing the point. Remember, educator, principal. So those of you who are sitting on your phone without paying attention, shame on you. Build relationships, have conversation. All right, take about 30 more seconds. All right, so what did I miss? Give me a season that I missed. Somebody raise your hand. Seth. How could I forget? We do live in South Florida. She said storms. Yes, a hurricane is a season that comes through. And then, if she's talking about different storms, we'll get that in just a second. So, because storms, as far as hurricanes coming through, and then they get the season of blue roofs all the way after that, right? But that's not what Stephanie was talking about. She was talking about storms of life, right? Storms of life. So, we all have storms, right? There are storms that come through, yes, ma'am. The empty, she didn't just say empty nest, she said empty nest syndrome. Right? It sounds like a disease. You know, when I was growing up, my parents, they would make up names for diseases, and Spofotus was the name of a disease. I must have thought it was a real thing. They said, well, what do you have? Well, I just got Spofotus. Oh, that's terrible. I go around, maybe you should drink plenty of liquid, you know, plenty of fruit. And then I found out later that it was safe. You know? No, empty nest syndrome. Emptiness syndrome. We have not been blessed with that yet. Alright? Blessed. Is it a blessing or a curse? I don't know. We're about to find out. Alright? We'll find out. Our last son, our youngest son, just graduated. So we have three boys and a girl, and our youngest one just graduated. With Brad. So, the season of when your children are little and you're working. So, while you're working, you miss a lot of things. You may miss the first step, you may miss the first words, and so on. Okay? And you miss that stuff, but that's a season. That's a season that you do it. What else? What other season? Go ahead.
Grandchildren, down to your grandparents, down to your grandchildren. balancing, spoiling your grandchildren, is that what you said? So, is that the balance of grandchildren? Now, how many, do I have any grandchildren that are raising their grandchild? Raise your hand. Anybody like that again? Grandparents, raising their grandchildren. Not grandchildren, right? So look around. Pray for them. That's a whole different ballgame. Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. Grandparents, raising their grandchildren. Thank you for correcting me, by the way. Don't ever do that. No, back up. Catastrophic. The death of loved ones, absolutely. Okay? The death of loved ones. After I became pastor, remember I've been pastor now for 3 months. After I became pastor, we had two of our ladies pass away within a week of one another. So it was, it's catastrophic. Okay, for family. Yes, sir. I'll take two more. This is a minute of.
Taking care of elderly parents.
Taking care of elderly parents. That's difficult. You know, that's difficult, especially with the dementia and all of the different things like that, when they start losing their memory. It's very, very difficult. Yes, ma'am. Last one.
Children that walk away, turn away from the faith.
So, when she said children that turn away from the faith. And you know, how often we as parents blame ourselves. What could I have done differently? What could I have done differently? Or even apologizing to our own children. You know, they act up, they act out, and then we apologize to them. Basically, what you've just done is you've given them a crutch or a stick that they can continue to beat you with for the rest of their life. Because if you've raised your children in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, then you put in your children everything that you can. But they still have free will. And it's still their choice. It's still their choice. You know, we have four children. You know, we're praying, and out of the four of them, I want all four of them. I don't want them to be good. We all want good children. No, no, no. I don't want good children. I want the best. I want my children to be the best, God-fearing, church-attending, gospel-preaching, tract handing out, seeking the lost, Christians. That's what I want for my children. But if they start going wayward, all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. And that's difficult to do. That's difficult to do. But listen to this verse again in Ecclesiastes.
And I appreciate those who participated. So it says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. And when we talk about seasons, and we talk about just the different transitions that occur in our life, what we don't do with this verse a lot of times as Christians and as preachers is continue on with the rest of the verse. To everything there is a season. Yep. Now wait a minute. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. So if you're in the habit of taking notes, I've got a few things that I just want you to write down. Number one is this. Every change has a purpose. Every change has a purpose. You know, in education and working with young people, you know, you just come across different words that you think, man, I really like that word. Does anybody have a favorite word, by the way? A favorite word? How many of you freaks like me? Like, what's your favorite word? Authentic. That's great. Like your wife, right? She's authentic. Right? Very good. Authentic is his favorite word. That's a great word. Anybody else have a favorite word? Yes, ma'am. All the way in the back. I have no idea what she said.
Exquisite.
That is a beautiful word. Exquisite. I have no idea what it means. Now, any other... it was a joke, okay? It was a joke. Brother?
Bra.
What is it?
Bra.
Everybody's got jokes.
It says his favorite word is bro. What's up, bro? Listen, if you have teenagers at all, in this current day and age, bro is the favorite word. So, well, dude was when we were like younger. But bro, yes. And I have to remind them, I'm not your bro. So stop calling me that. Stop calling me that. But my favorite word is purpose. Because everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. And that's what this says. It says, in a time to every purpose. But our changes, our transitions in our life, all have a change. Or all have a purpose. The Apostle Paul said that all of these things have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Meaning that everything that has happened to me has a purpose. Now, I want you to think, Brother Brad, or Brother Noble, I'm sorry, I knew him for so long, I called him Brother Brad, Pastor Noble. So Pastor Noble, when he was preaching yesterday, he talked about thinking. He talked about the thought process and how we think. First of all, this is something that is being lost among young people. Lost. Because of all of this stuff that we carry around with us, they are losing the ability to think. It's the way in which we allow our children now to be babysat. They're babysat with these things. It is our responsibility, not just as parents, but as a society, to force young people to think and think things through. In Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 18, God tells us this. Now listen to this. This is so awesome. He says, come. He says, come. First of all, anytime God says, come, you know what you ought to do? You ought to listen. You ought to go. He says, come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, let's wrestle with this a little bit. You ever wrestle with God? If you haven't, you should try it. First of all, you lose. But eventually, you come around to God's way of thinking. Come, let us reason together. Reasoning something means that you take in all of the information. You synthesize the information, and then you come out with a reasonable result. That is what reason, it's reasonable. It's reasonable. So as you go through the seasons of life, all of these different things, my brother was 4 years older than I am. And he was in a car accident. He was in a car accident when, I don't even know how old I was. Do you remember how old I was, baby? How old he was? So I'm 50 now, so it was in early 40s, maybe 40. So it's probably about 10 years ago. And he ended up getting ejected from the car, massive head trauma, and passed away. And I tell you what, you know what I did? I tried to crawl in a hole. And then the Lord brought this verse to me. He said, come, let us reason together. This is a season of your life where you know what you need. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, you need me. You know, as we go through life and as we try to reason things together, as we try to challenge ourselves with all the things that are going on in our own life, the Lord says, come. 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 When I asked my wife to marry me, Victoria, grab this microphone. Now, Brother Samuels, I'm not sure how you convinced your wife to present with you, but God bless you. When I told Victoria, I told her, I said, listen, this has both of our names on this presentation. And she said, yeah, right. Here, both of our names. She said, good luck with that. And then you inspired her. Thank you so much. We went over here and listened to the samples, and his wife was up there. She said, you want me to stand there? I said, I said, I'm going to give you my name. Stand up with me, Victoria. So she has no idea what I'm about to do.
Mary will talk.
So, this, one of the seasons of life is when you get the unction to ask your wife to marry you. I'd already talked to her father. I was so excited. I took her to this beautiful dock, the water, sunset. It was perfect.
I mean, like, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And so this is how, and again, she had no idea that I asked her to do this. I hate to say honestly, because, you know, it's not biblical. But anyway, so this is what I did. Victoria, will you marry me? And what was your response?
I have some questions.
And so I stood up, and I walked back, and I sat down, and said, all right, what are they? And what were they?
I grew up in a home where my parents had been married. They'd never been divorced. Divorce was not a word that was ever spoken in the home that I lived in. And his father had been divorced. It was a situation where he had had three children with his wife at that time. And she basically walked away. She said, I don't want to be a mom. I don't have anything to do with this. And she left them. So his father packed up all three kids and the woman that he married and came to Florida and started a new life. And I knew that. But I knew also that going into a marriage, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It is forever. Divorce is not a word that is in my vocabulary. And I knew it wasn't in his.
So, I had to convince her that I was serious. But, thank you, Kevin. Wasn't that great? Oh, round of applause.
What she wanted to make sure was that this is not an acceptable thing that you ever have in your mind and heart. It is never an answer that you have for anything that goes on. Is marriage difficult? Yes. Is it work? Yes. Is divorce the answer? No. No. No, it's not. Can you work through anything? Yes. Yes, we can work through anything. And when we talk about the purposes of the seasons that we go through, the Lord has a plan for it all. Our responsibility as a married couple is not to go to the Lord and ask Him, why? Why did my brother pass away? Why is this going on? Why are there difficulties? Why is my child sick? Why is the insurance not going through? Why did this car accident happen? Why did this hurricane tear through? Why? Our responsibility as husbands and wives is to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Divorce is not an issue if you don't ever talk about it. Divorce is not ever a problem if you don't speak about it or you don't think about it. Listen to this verse. Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 2. It says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Here the Lord says, I will go before you. I'm going to go before you. That's what the Lord says. You ever had a crooked place? Trying to figure it out? Trying to figure out the direction to go? When Victoria and I made this transition from educator to college professor to pastor, we had to take our hands off the wheel and say, Lord, you're in control. Number two, this is so important. Number two, as you navigate through the seasons of life, you must pray right. Pray right. R-I-G-H-T. pray. Right. You may say, oh yeah, I get it. We go through seasons. We have to pray. Absolutely. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 9. Actually, check that. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 7 and 8. It says, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. And then listen to this next part. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. When you enter into any season in your Christian life or in your marriage, you say, well, I pray with my husband, I pray with my wife, and we pray. Yes. But praying right, praying right. What God's Word just told us is that He will open the doors that no man can close. He will close doors that no man can open. Meaning that if you pray with your husband or with your wife and you're trying to figure out what is the direction, what is the answer? We know what God's known will for us is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means that He wants everybody to be saved. That's the known will. The secret will is the will of what is my next step? What's the answer? Why would anybody give up being able to retire in 7 years to go to a private university in Knoxville, take his wife, his children, and move all the way up there? Why? Some people would say, you're crazy. People in our own church told us we were crazy. In fact, we came back, and it still tells us we're crazy. But my wife and I, when we opened up God's Word, when we lay down, or we knelt down next to our bed at night and prayed, we said, Lord, open the doors that you want us to go through. Close the doors that you want us to stop at. You want a secret to the seasons through your marriage and through your family? Pray that way. Lord, open the doors that you want us to go through. Now the key is, stop trying to force the door yourself. Because as Victoria and I made this transition, whenever we tried to force anything, we were wrong. I remember we needed a vehicle, we had 4 children. Now I'm 6'3", my wife's 6'. 2 of my children are 6'5". So we were trying to fit all of them into a vehicle. The Volkswagen Bug didn't work. So we decided something a little bit larger. So we went out and we were looking at the vehicles and we came across the Suburban. Now that is, if you don't know, that's like a land barge. You know, it's like you're the king of the road if you're driving a Suburban down the road. And so we came across it, and we were like, you know, they got the dealer letting me bring it home, so we drove it around a little bit, and it was okay. And gas consumption was an issue, but gas was cheaper then, prior to whatever president was. And so we go back in, and we said, well, this is what they were asking. And Victoria said, okay. So we prayed about it. We prayed about it. We said, Lord, we really need this vehicle for our family. We really need this vehicle. Lord, this is the number that you put on our heart. They're asking, I don't know what it was, $800 more than what the Lord put on our heart. And so we went back in and we said, listen, we can pay this amount, $800 less than what they said. And they said, no, it'll be $200 less than what they said, $600 more than what we've asked. $600 more. We go, well, they came down off of it. Since they came down off of it, we'll go ahead and purchase a vehicle. You know what we just did? We tried to force a door open. Never in the history
has there been a bigger lemon than the Chevy Suburban that we purchased? We drove it off the lot, and it pulled so far to the right, I thought I had to do a bicep workout just to hold the thing on in the road. It was that every little thing went wrong with the thing. And Victoria and I looked at each other and we said, it is 100% our fault. 100%. We tried to force the door open, and the Lord said, and we learned. Up to the day we sold the stupid thing, we had one problem after the other. Every little thing went wrong. We sold it to a guy. He was Spanish, very spoke English. And he came over, and we looked over and we said, here it is, you can drive. And he barely spoke English. He said, look at me, king of the road. I said, yes. You'll be the king of the road. So he purchased it. I hop in it, and I'm going to drive over to his house. I'm driving over to his house. The air conditioner goes out. And it only blows heat. And it's in line. It's like, man, it's like August. And it's blowing heat. And I'm wrestling with God. I'm going, he's ready to pay us. All I have to do is just drop the stupid thing off and walk away from it. And then I felt this tug on my heart. It said, you want to go through this again? No, I do not want to go through it again. So we got to his house, told him about what happened, and he ended up taking us somewhere and getting fixed. But man, when you force doors open, you'll regret it. There are all of these seasons that we go through in life. But you need to go to the Lord and pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, open the doors that you want me to go through. Not just individually, but as a couple. As a couple. And when you pray, both of you pray. Husbands, pray first. When Victoria and I were very young in the faith, and we were very young, I got saved as a teenager in high school in the back of a math class, actually, and then shared the gospel with me, and I saved in the name of the Lord. And didn't truly grow until we joined Broad First Baptist Church in 2000. And early on in our marriage, I would pray. Whenever the two of us sat down and prayed, I didn't want to pray. But the Lord continued to work in my heart. And then men, first of all, let me take a step back and say men. One of the things that this world is missing is men. Men being men. Men acting like men. Men taking the challenge that God's word gives to us to be men. There is a feminization that is trying to sweep across the world, especially in our country, and remove the ability for men to be men. Men, step up to the plate and pray with your wife. See, what does that have to do with seasons? Nothing. Just pray with your wife. And then wives, let your husband hear you pray too. It is sweet. And it is intimate. When you pray as a man and your wife hears what's in your heart, and you pray for her, and you pray for the family, and you pray for the things that are going on, then as you enter into whatever season it may be, the Lord works by speaking to you both. The Lord makes the crooked ways raised. So when you read this verse, he says that he goes before you. He says he goes before you and makes the crooked way straight. Man, that's awesome. We should pray for doors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 18, it says this. In everything give thanks,
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So if you actually turn in your Bibles to that portion of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 18. Now, I know it's a marriage conference, but we are Bible believing, right? Brother, that's what you mean. Okay. Now, as you turn into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 18, I want to put a little pause on what I'm doing. Because I really don't know the easiest way to say this, so I'm just going to throw it out there. None of this works unless you know Christ as your personal Savior. If you are here at a Bible base, and maybe you came because your spouse wanted you to. Maybe your wife said, you know what, we really need to go to this. It's a good thing. But if you are here and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to get that squared away first, because none of the things that you've heard today that will help you can help you unless you know Christ first. You must know Christ as your personal Savior. You may say, well, I'm just not ready. Step up to the plate. Stop putting it off. And ask the Lord to come into your heart today. If you've been living a lie, and you get saved today, all of those people that you have been lying to will rejoice in your decision. Not criticize, they will rejoice in that decision. I just want to make sure that I throw that out there, because it's so important that you know Christ first. Listen to this verse. If you're in the habit of making notes in your Bible or marking up your Bible, this verse says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Circle the first word in that verse. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, you say, well, we're going through a season. Listen, if I'm boring you, I apologize. But I pray that you just hang on for just a little bit longer. I promise, it'll end well. All right, it'll end well. The first word in this verse says, after all things give thanks, correct? I saw somebody shaking their head yes. You clearly were not paying attention. Okay. So, what's the first word, everybody together? In everything, give thanks. As you are going through a trial, as you're going through a season, when you look at any season that you're going through, the key to it is this verse. In everything, give thanks. When you are going through a season of your life, you're transitioning from one thing to the other, whether it's children, no matter whatever it is, God's word says, give thanks. You may say, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. I've had a loved one that's just passed away. A cancer diagnosis. It's so difficult to do. This doesn't say it's easy to give thanks. It just says, in everything, give thanks. When you're right in the middle of it, do you have the faith as a couple to say, thank you, Lord, for my wayward child. Thank you, Lord, for the death of a parent. Thank you, Lord, for the death of a child. Thank you, Lord, that we are going through these financial struggles. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that you're going through. You say, no. I haven't gotten that. I don't have that faith. I want to encourage you to do what God's word tells you to do. You will never regret it. When you go through a season that is difficult and you take this portion of Scripture and you say, Lord, thank you. I don't understand it, but I thank you that we are going through whatever it is. There is a yoke that will be lifted off of you when you do it.
When you thank the Lord as you go through it, the Lord says, I will carry you through whatever it is. Just trust me. Just trust me. Number three.
Turn in your Bibles again to Colossians chapter number 1. This might be the last time you turn your Bible, maybe. I don't know, just standing up here, I just kind of like listening to the flipping of pages, you know, Colossians. And so, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And verse number 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So number three, as we're talking about navigating the seasons in life, number three, make God preeminent in your marriage. That's number three. Preeminent. Preeminent means that he is the only. You may say, well, that's kind of a big word. Yeah, I know. The Lord uses those sometimes. Preeminent means that he is the only. He's it. There is no number two. Let me explain what I mean by that. If I just went up to my wife and I said, Victoria, I love you so much. Of all the women in the world, you're number one. You know what our question would be? Well, who's number two? Well, who's the runner-up? Who do I have to battle for? Who am I going to have to, go beat up? That's not preeminent. Preeminent means the only. The only. Preeminent means that you go to the Lord first. Before you do anything else, before you expel any of your other resources, the Lord is where you go. As soon as it happens, and this is so hard, we get in habits of trying to expel all of our resources first as a couple before going to the Lord. When my children were young, my oldest child, Christian, who's now 25, so he's 25 now, when he was very young, 3 or 4 years old, I was a head football coach at Marion High School. And as a head football coach, you don't get that one key to open up the school. You know, there's that master key. You get a key for this door, and then this door, and then this door, and then this door. So I have like a handful of keys that when I put in my pocket, I kind of list to one side, and then it hurt my sciatic, so I had to flip it over and put it in the other pocket so I could walk back the other way. And I'm getting ready to go to practice. And I could not find my keys. Couldn't find my keys. I said, Victoria, I lost my keys. Do you know where they are? And as helpful of a wife as she is, do you know where you put them? Do you remember where you left them? Do you remember where you left them? If I remember, then I have them. No. So I start looking. And then 2 or 3 minutes turns into 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm turning things upside down. And as I start to gather, my 3-year-old son comes, and Christian's name, he comes up and starts tugging on my pants. Says, Daddy, that's his Christian name. I got to find my keys. So I'm walking around, he's following me around like a shadow, and I'm turning up the bed, I'm opening things, I'm looking at it. Daddy, Christian's name. And I'm just walking, and by then I'm mad. I'm sweating, I'm mad, I've got to get to practice, I've got to get out the door, Daddy, and then finally, I don't know, it had to be about 10 minutes, I knelt down with my son and said, what do you want? And he says, did you pray about it? And I said, I appreciate the Lord for allowing my 3-year-old son to be more spiritual than I am. I said, no, Christian, but now. I said, let's pray. I said, Lord, I love you, Lord. Thank you. Help me to find these keys.
as soon as I said amen, my wife comes in and hands me keys. How often in the seasons of marriage and in the seasons of our Christian life do we try to go through all of our resources first before turning to the Lord? If he is preeminent, he's the only. And I want you to think, I know that's hard to do, especially after I've been speaking for however long I've been speaking for, it's hard to do, I want coffee. Those of you who drink coffee. I want you to think about this. Think about the courting phase that you had with your spouse. Think about it. Think about it. Wasn't it a sweet time? What's interesting is, and again, I'm an educator, so I apologize. I also studied psychology back in college. So as I'm going around and watching, looking at all the faces and the different responses as I say certain things, I can't unthink that, by the way. So as I'm turning up, I see, and when I say, think about the courting phase, and I'm looking at this. Look at this smile right here. Look at this. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever the courting phase was for you two, it was something good. And then I look at it, oh, and I'm like, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. But think about the courting phase. When you were dating, when you were talking to each other, couldn't wait to pick up the phone. Back then, when we had an active phone, we had to pick up and we had an active phone. Couldn't wait for it. Couldn't wait to see each other. Couldn't wait to go out. Listen, we were in college. We were so poor that we would go into Taco Bell with a deck of cards, purchase a small drink for like 50 cents or something like that, and sit there for 2 hours and talk and play cards, not betting. It's only poker once or twice. And we just play cards. And we consume so much Dr. Pepper that, thank you for the amen on the Dr. Pepper, I appreciate that. But listen, but that's all we could do. But man, we just wanted to be together. She was always on my mind. Always. She told me one time, she said, well, I'm going to go hang out with my friend. I said, what? Now, the friend was the one that introduced us. She said, I'm going to go hang out with my friend. I said, let me rephrase that. And then she did it. And I was so angry. I said, I can't believe you. You went out with your friend. What about me? But think about that time. And I want you to think about that time because do you think about the Lord now as often as you thought about your wife or your husband? When you were courting them. That is preeminence. When he is what you think about all the time, as you go through the different seasons in your life, that is preeminent. As you go through the different seasons, and he is who you think about all the time, you may think, well, what about my wife? Let me tell you a quick story. This last week, and I'll end with this. This last week, I had to change out a tire. It was leaking. It was driving me crazy. So I go outside, and I start taking lug nuts off. There was one particularly ornery lug nut. As I reach down, and I grab the wrench. Now, this is a long wrench. I call it the persuader. How many of you have a persuader? You know what I'm talking about. Look around, gentlemen. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. And I grab that persuader, and I'm like, and then I just gave it that little bit of extra oomph, and my back just went. And I said, ow. And man, I was done. I was done. And then the next day, my wife and I had to go do some work and had to go do some different things. And my wife was so concerned about taking care of me. She's so concerned, and I really do appreciate that she wanted to take care of me. And then she came to me and she said this. She said,
that gentleman over there, I needed to take a track to him, but I didn't. And I said, why not? She said, I was concerned about you. I wanted to come over and help him. And I said, you can't put my needs ahead of what the Lord put in your heart. Even if as you go through different seasons in your marriage, the Lord must be more important to you than your own spouse. That's what preeminent is. You can make it through any season in your life and any season in your marriage when the Lord is preeminent. You may say, Robert, that's a terrible story about Robert or about your wife tending to your needs instead of the Lord's. It may be, but it's true. And when you ask her, she feels terrible that she missed an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody because she was taking care of me. That's so sad. Should never be that way. But the Lord now is with that in her heart, and she knows that preeminence means God has to come first above your own marriage. And when He does, everything else happens. And it's so sweet, and it's so special. As you go through these seasons in your life, try to remember these things. You've got to pray right. Keep the Lord preeminent in everything that you do. And know that everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. I appreciate you paying attention to me this afternoon. Is it afternoon yet? I guess it's close to it. This morning. I'm going to pray. I want all heads bowed and all eyes closed. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Nobody's looking but me. Listen, if you are in here and you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you right there where you are sitting to pray and ask the Lord to come into your heart. It's so simple. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that Christ died on the cross for you, and call upon His name. I'm going to say a prayer out loud, and you can say that prayer in your heart. The Lord has promised to hear you. All heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking but me. This is so important. So important. I'm going to say a prayer out loud. You pray that, put this prayer in your heart. And the Lord has promised to save you. Go just like this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me from my sins. And help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And we'll finish with this prayer. If you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to talk to your pastor. Find somebody to let them know that you've prayed that prayer. Your own spouse needs to know, by the way, because I promise you they've been praying for you. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this group. I thank you for the Noble family. Lord, I thank you for all of the things that you've done during this conference. Lord, may you continue to speak to our hearts and minds, Lord God. Forgive us where we have fallen short, Lord God. May you be preeminent in everything that we do, Lord. Help us, guide us, direct us, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to see the purpose that you have behind everything. Guide and direct us only you can, Lord, for we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.